Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And I have the most amazing guest for you today. I could talk to her for weeks, let alone half an hour. Let me tell you a little bit about Dolores. So Dolores was born in Spain. And she remembers wanting to learn her mother's sewing workshop, and she read as much as she could. And her teaching career started as a teenager in high school, where she used to give private lessons to students who were really stuck. And from there, because of the success with those students, she found out that she was interested and more concerned in their emotional and mental bodies and their spirit rather than their intellectual capacity. Dolores studied Spanish and literature studies at university and also English and French at the same time, and also went on to study fashion design in Barcelona. Now, I could go on and on and on, but the short notes are that she has been part of education in Spain and England and China and America, and I know she's traveled to Russia and lots of other places to be able to have a look and absorb education, and she has a lot to share. So, beautiful, warm welcome to you, Dolores.
Thank you very much for having me in your beautiful show and singing at the same time.
I know. Well, Dolores, so traveling around, I love traveling as well. How has traveling and experiencing so many different cultures shaped your views on education?
Well, what I mainly noticed is that we are all one. We all have the same issues, the same challenges. And when you connect with your students from the heart, really, there are no boundaries. There is no countries, no systems of separation, nothing. Mm-hmm. We are all one. I was living in China and my students looked even physically like students I had in Spain, so and even in England, even though the cultures are very different. I guess I've always tried to connect with the heart of people in whatever circumstance I was. That's my constant flow. It doesn't matter where I am.
Well, I agree, connecting, because you're connecting as people. It's not connecting.
That's right.
As any sort of race. Like we really have, seriously, we live on Earth. Let's face it. We're all the same ultimately. So I agree with you. I think that's beautiful. Are there any particular moments or stories that stand out for you that you would love to share with our wonderful audience?
Well, for me, the stories that I enjoy and that they have helped me grow is when I've managed to guide some students out of a situation where they really felt they were hopeless, they were stupid, they couldn't do anything, they were failing all the subjects. So for me, that was a challenge, personal challenge. So I wanted to get to the bottom of why they were telling themselves these stories. And often I found that it was something related to the way they were being treated at home, even by their own parents or just circumstance. So nobody had told them how valuable they were. And because I was a kind of an outsider, they didn't know me, I could see them from my perspective and how they really are. So because I managed to build a trust relationship, they believe me. So once they believe me, they started believing themselves. And once we went over that obstacle, then everything was easy. Now, I have to say, it requires a lot of patience and a lot of love because these children are normally obsessed with their own negative thoughts and feelings. So you need to have a big heart and a big determination to actually get to the end of that thought process and then move them slowly into a different area, mental and emotional. And once you get there, they just run. They don't need you anymore.
Oh, that's so
That's good.
beautiful. I love that. I agree. There's so many children out there that feel like they're not enough. They truly believe I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy.
That's
And
right.
it's an epidemic, really, when you think about it. And building that relationship is key. And I mean, you are so warm. I would warm to you as well. And I could imagine that I would learn to trust you with the way that you, just your whole mannerism and the way that you interact with people. So I think they could feel your energy being in your presence. So I think that's pretty cool. Definitely. So, well,
I hope so.
is there anything in particular that you did to empower the learners? Like any particular strategy that you seem to fall on?
Normally, these difficult students will think of themselves as being hopeless. That's why they're failing everything, right? So I will say, okay, just give me a chance. I'm going to explain something to you, and then you're going to explain it back to me, and then we check if it's true that you're stupid or not, because I don't believe you're stupid. So you need to demonstrate to me that you are stupid because I don't
Oh,
believe you.
well, I can't imagine they'd have many people telling them that.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking of this little boy who was 11 or 12, and I was teaching him in the Dominican Republic. And he was convinced he was stupid. And he was hyperactive. He just kept going back and forward to the fridge to get Coke. Oh my God, it was so difficult to pin him down more than 3 minutes on the chair. But I did that trick. I said, okay, I'm going to explain to you. It was in particular was a Spanish that I was teaching him. And I said, okay, this is it. I can't remember exactly what the concept was, but I said, okay, I explained this to you. And now let me show me if you can do it. Of course, he could do it. And he said, oh, this is only, it's been by chance. It's not true. It's true. I said, okay, I'll give you another example. Boom, boom, boom. And he will do it correctly. Oh, this is just a coincidence. I'm a stupid. I'm a stupid. I don't know how to do these things. And then I gave him the third time. And then, he couldn't really deny that he could do it. And that's
Wow.
how we got into a different dynamic. Yes, convince them. Another very, very extreme case. When I started teaching in Madrid, I went in a school in a very poor area of Madrid to substitute a teacher that had left the school. And I was left with all his tests that he had given the test to the children, the exams, we call it. And I had to check his exams and pass the notes, the grades. And there was this girl, I'm not going to say her name, but I've never seen a more dyslexic case in my life. Basically, the whole page was a salad of words, literally a salad. She could not put an article in front of a noun. It was just impossible. Even that simple combination, she couldn't do it. So, inexperienced as I was shocked. And I said, what is this? What did this teacher do to these children so that this girl can't write a whole page of words, totally loose, like a salad? So I went to her and I said, all innocent of me, I didn't recognize that this was dyslexia. And I said, "Hey, what happened here? What did you write?" And she said, and she burst into tears. She was 14 years old. And she said, "Oh, Miss Rubio, I used to be abnormal when I was little." She said, poor thing.
Oh.
And I just, on the spur of the moment, I said, "Well, that's when you were little. You're not little anymore. You're now here." So we're going to get to solve this issue. And she was a beautiful girl, really beautiful. So I started working with her one to one in my coffee break and my lunch break, and give her extra hours, extra tuition, extra everything. I was teaching Spanish and English at the time, and I thought, oh my God, if she can put an article and a noun together, how on earth am I going to teach her English? Right? She couldn't even speak in Spanish. So, anyway, to cut the story short, she was so motivated that someone finally was paying attention to her that she ended up really, really well. She, in the last exams, she got 6 out of 10. But this is somebody who really earned that. I wasn't helping her at all, other than, helping her to learn. But I didn't mark her tests in a different way that I was marking the others. I was just giving her extra support. And then she decided herself that she was going to study vocational studies. And she ended up being a beautician and setting up a business. And she was giving advice to her boyfriend, who was studying architecture in another city,
Oh, that's
So
gorgeous.
you just don't know how you can transform the lives of people just by, and of course, the director of the school used to say that I was stupid, that this girl was useless, and why I was wasting my time with her and anything. Of course, I don't pay any attention. Who would you spend my time with, right?
I can appreciate that. I can relate to that. And sometimes it's just the little things, showing someone that you care and that you believe in them for them to be able to believe in themselves. I can really appreciate what it is that you did. And you think about the ripple effect of just changing that one girl's life because she's going on to go and be happy and successful. Well, you changed the trajectory of where she was headed. That's pretty
Absolutely.
special, and that's what I really love about teaching, because children can come back all grown up years later and you think, wow, look where you are, look what you're doing. And to be just a very small part of that is just such a privilege.
You just reminded me of another story. When I taught in London, I taught in all boys' schools. They were very, very naughty. And this is Southeast London, very rough area. And I was given the worst of the lot. And because I suppose in my job interview, they realized I was tough and I was ready for anything. So they gave me the worst lot. And it was very challenging. But for me, every time I did a little step with each one in particular, that was a big success. And there was this boy, a huge boy, originally probably from Pakistan or something. He was a big, big boy. And one day I was struggling with them, more with my other Spanish partner teacher because we were sharing the teaching. And I said to them, "Look, I don't want to talk badly about anybody, but this other teacher has a very different method that I use. So I just have to be honest and tell you what my method is." "Oh, you're saying that you're smarter than the other." And I said, "No, we just have different methods. She wants you to study by heart the answers to these questions in Spanish because this is for the GCSE exams. And all the students in the Spanish classes, they were supposed to answer 16 questions, your name, your family, your hobbies, that sort of thing. And I just couldn't get my head around to force them to learn by heart. I just couldn't. So I said to them, "Look, if I show you just a few steps, logical steps of how to build sentences in Spanish, you can talk about anything. You just get your structure and vary it at your will. You don't have, well, this big bloke who was a bully in the school got so cross when he realized how easy it was to make different sentences in Spanish. He banged on the table and he left the school. He really
Wow.
left the school because he was very cross. He said, "Why nobody told me this before?"
Oh my
It's
gosh.
bad. Because it's easy to learn, is easy, but if they try to in my opinion, is an insult to tell a student that you have to learn by heart something is an insult to their intelligence. So that's why I had to be raw honest with them. I said, "Look, I've got a different method. I don't know if it's worse or not, but it's different, and this is how I teach." And yes, from there, and then when I came back from China, I went into central London for in a hotel for a conference or something. And the guy who opened the door in the hotel was one of my students. So "Oh, Miss Rubio, Miss Rubio." And I thought, "Oh my God, I'm so proud of you that you found yourself a job here in a good hotel, right in the very, very close from Trafalgar Square, really walking distance from
Oh,
Trafalgar Square."
wow.
So I was really proud of him. Yes, all of these stories of my students is what really made it worth all the effort, because I know that I'm touching their lives in one way or another. And that's what they're going to take them, really. Not that particular test and how much they score in the test, but how it changed their worldview and they believe in themselves and I'm capable of doing anything I set my mind to, really.
So you're focusing on, the human, the person over the content, really, the living being in front of you, rather.
Yeah, that's why I burned myself in London, because there were so many meetings and paperwork. Or if the students had an incident, you have to write four reports about the incident. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I just talk to them and work it out. I don't need to write four papers." And I didn't do very well with the bureaucracy. No. And in Madrid, I had a similar experience because I went from teaching in a very poor area to teaching in a very wealthy area. My students were the children of ministers or Iberia pilot, really very, very well-off families. And because it was a private school, they were used to get any grades they wanted. So when I was teaching four different levels there of English, and it was hard for me because I didn't know the textbooks, so I had to write all of that and do all my homework before I could teach. But then, the parents, or the head of the department will complain, "Oh, so and so has three children in the school and they normally get an A or an 8 or a 9 out of 10." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, that's not what their papers show me. I'm happy to help them to get to that level, but I'm not giving marks for free. I'm teaching here." So that put me also in a tough position, because I will not compromise with the expectations of just giving marks for free. But again, I spend a lot of my free time with the students on one to one, and I noticed they had the same problems that they had in the other, not so well off school and settings. So,
I think you would call that integrity. You can't be
maybe.
bought, basically. You're there to help them teach, and they have to do the work. That's the problem. They have to do the learning. They need to be able to want to do it. There seems to be such a shift. I mean, over the last 30 plus years that I've been teaching, there's a huge shift in attitudes and in society, and it does actually make me wonder, what's happening, because there feels like there's a whole another shift right now happening, and it's coming full circle. I mean, from your experience at the moment, where do you see the shifts head in the trajectory of where you feel education might be heading right now?
It's difficult to answer that, Teresa, because I haven't been in a school as such as for a long time. I've been on the fringe, if you want. But I have a friend that I hope to bring into our group who is 15, and she was doing homeschooling, and she's now in an ordinary setting, and she tells me that she inquires a lot about what she's learning at home, and she inquires in the school. So she's putting the teachers on the spot about this and the other. And I'm hoping that my children, after being homeschooled, they also did that. When they went to school, they had a very critical mind, and they could see through what it was,
The
not,
agendas say that.
yes. Yeah, so I have a lot of faith in youth, because I think in general I see that they have more of an inquiring mind that I used to have when I was little, and also they don't have as much respect for authority. So they probably have more a free thinker mind. And of course, in our days, I don't know about you, but we didn't have internet, or we didn't have mobile phones, we didn't have
Yeah,
all of this nonsense,
no, none of
social
that.
media. Yeah. So maybe that has also its good side to it. If they can check by themselves and do research, they get more perspectives than we used to. I don't know, but I have faith that they're very, very independent. What I notice is that there is a dependency on these machines, as we know. So if we could somehow combine periods where they have no access whatsoever to the machines, that would be fantastic. In 2018, I sent my children to a camp for 10 days in the north of Spain, and the border with the Pyrenees. And for 10 days, they could not use any mobile phones. They were just there having fun, climbing mountains, swimming, cooking, and meditating in the morning. And they also had 24 hours where they had to spend time alone, in theory. That was the theory.
Oh, yeah.
They could go up to the mountain or stay in the river, but the idea was that they will spend the time reflecting. And I remember I went to Russia in 2018, and I said to the parents of three friends that I brought over to Spain to do this with my son, I said, "You will not hear from me in 10 days. That will be good news, because they will be busy in the camp and they don't have access to mobile phones. So unless something bad happens, we shouldn't hear anything." And guess what? I am in Russia, and my son calls me, and I thought, oh my God, my heart went, oh my God. And I've never heard my son so happy in my whole life. He was saying, "You cannot believe what this is. I'm in the top of a mountain. I can see France from here." They, of course, even though they had to be alone, they cheated a little bit, and they ended up putting their tents not far away from each other and whatnot. And of course, they took the mobile phones, and up there in the mountain, they had reception. That's why he called me. But, it was such a wonderful experience to see how they did connect with nature. They had phenomenal mentors there. And I highly, highly recommend that anybody who has teenagers, this is called a school of youth, in fact, and it goes from 16 to 26. And the man who runs this is called Corby. He is a German guy, but he lives in Spain. His Spanish and English is perfect. So he does a tremendous job for young people. is absolutely fantastic. And when I went to pick them up, we were putting gas in the car, and my son said, "You know, Mom, the boys want to apologize to you." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because nobody wanted to come to the camp, and everybody wanted it so much." I remember one of them was even taking some medication for depression, didn't touch the medication all the time he was there. So when children connect with nature, they really have fun. And that's enough. They forget about machines, and they forget about, and they get to learn how to deal with each other. And, obviously, living in tents and that sort of thing, it creates at some point tension. So they also had to manage that and work through. So it was a tremendous experience for all of them, really. Before and after, they told me. Yes.
I can just picture it, actually. It sounds amazing, and I do agree. Getting out of four walls and out into nature, and then having that self-reliance. I mean, I grew up like this. This was my childhood, so you had to be self-reliant, and that it was very clever if they had to have some time alone, because then you've got to get out of that mind chatter and be able to sort of connect and observe and absorb. The other thing that you did mention, which I agree with, is that a lot of our youth today really do get a bad rap. There's a lot of people that judge them. And while, yes, there's always, one or two that seem to push the boundaries too far, in general, I really enjoy the fact that children today are questioning, why are we doing this? What's going on? This doesn't make sense to me. And they are bringing that critical thinking. And I do agree with you, it's because of the access of the internet that they've been exposed to so much more. And I've taught children before that were interested in something they wanted to learn, and the teachers at school didn't have the skill set for it, and so they just taught themselves using YouTube. They would just go on, follow instructions, and they were teaching themselves and self-motivated. So if you really were keen, the tools are there for them to go and do what they need to. They don't have to rely on a so-called expert to be able to learn anymore. And that I think that's quite empowering. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
I
These
have a
are
lot of faith
resources.
in them. I have a
My
lot of
son.
faith in them.
My
Absolutely.
son built himself a computer just like that, following the instructions. And the other thing good about young people is I noticed during the pandemic as well, I noticed some attitudes among people that were really, really healthy. They would not make any differences between who got the shot and who didn't get the shot. They were just seeing everybody the same. Also, when I travel, even when I travel in business or any, I notice the young people are very helpful, very helpful. They always try to help other people.
People are
And
so
my other
fun to be around
experience,
too. They're so fun to be
yes.
around.
Absolutely. My other experience was in Russia. I visited the tech school and we did a little experiment that was to teach Spanish in maybe an hour to some students there in the tech school. And I can tell you that in an hour, I managed to get across to them what normally will take 6 weeks in another setting. So that was another very interesting experience to see how these children in the tech school really learn much faster because they are again connected with the source.
Absolutely. And we'll have to do another show on that. Really interested in hearing about their experience and what they do with that, because I know we've run out of time today. So definitely, would you be willing to come back on and record another show with me, Dolores?
Absolutely, anytime.
I could talk to you all day. It just feels like I know you're on the other side of the world, but it's just so cool that we can have this conversation. And for everybody else that's out there listening, thank you for joining us today on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express. We encourage you to go out and live learning. Thank you, Dolores. Thank you, everybody.
you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.